Welcome to another episode of Mormon History Podcast. I am your host, Skyler. Thank you for tuning in. Oh, say, what is truth? The church is true. In fact, it's the only true and living church of Jesus Christ. The Book of Mormon is true, and Joseph Smith is a true prophet. Walk into any LDS church on the first Sunday of the month, and you're bound to hear some variety or variation of that. We like to say that we know without a shadow of doubt, or some other concept of a sure knowledge. It's a way to convince ourselves of what we absolutely know, well, to be true. Sprinkle in some groupthink and confirmation bias, and you're set. You are ready to go. Now, before I continue, I just want to say that this will probably be the last episode of this type for a bit. I want to do some more historical episodes, and the only reason why I did number 2, number 4, and number 5 like this is because I had spoken with some people recently, and this is kind of what I felt inspired to talk about. And I'm sure that there will be some more along the way, and hopefully you guys will give me some input on some maybe some subjects that you want to discuss. And also, because I am just establishing this podcast, I wanted to get some episodes out so that some people could, you know, understand kind of what I'm about early on and kind of get a feel for my podcast, my voice, and my style. So anyways, just want to throw that out there real quick. So back to knowing everything with a sure knowledge and knowing truth. This is a concept within the church that you don't ever really question when you are a true blue Mormon. I mean, why would you? Your leaders will tell you the truth, right? The Holy Ghost confirms the truth. It says so in the scriptures. We don't really think about confirmation bias or the fact that maybe other churches have the same concepts and the same truth and the same confirmation. And why would we? Because we get all of our knowledge from our leaders. We get all our knowledge from General Conference. We get our knowledge from church, from the manuals, from institute, from seminary. There is no reason to believe that we don't have the truth. And we don't differentiate between belief, fact, and truth. It's not something that we would even consider. And interestingly enough, it's typically only the good stuff that is true. It's all the bad stuff that is false. We hear a rumor about something that Joseph Smith did. We hear a rumor of something that Brigham Young said, and that is not true. And even if he did say it, he was just speaking as a man, and, you know, they're people. They're fallible. You can't expect a human being to be perfect. So even if he said what he said, which I highly doubt that's the case, I mean, how do you even know that they recorded that correctly? Oh, so it's on the church website? Well, someone had to have hacked the website and put it on there because there's no way that the church would ever admit to that. And so I am just not going to believe it. So there. And how about you just give Brother Joseph a break? And why don't you go try and write the Book of Mormon and see how that works for you? See if you can do it. All right, so did you hear yourself in that last few minutes? Is that how you were not so long ago? And now you've had your faith crisis, your shelf has broke, you're questioning everything you ever knew, you're angry, and as my last episode said, you're just trying not to vomit all over everybody. So what the heck do you do? What is true? I don't even know anymore. Really, I don't. I mean, what is truth? And how can I continue to go knowing that something is possibly, most likely not true? All right, so let's go back to the title of the song. Oh, say, what is truth? What is truth? And why do we feel like we have to be so black and white about it? Well, because either the church is true or it's false. Either the Book of Mormon is true or it's false. Either Joseph Smith was a prophet or he wasn't. Either it happened or it didn't. If it did, it's the greatest whatever of the whole wide world. And if it didn't, it's the biggest fraud known to man. And it's statements like that that really don't do good. It's like that whole the Book of Mormon being the keystone of your religion. So you're saying that the Book of Mormon is what is holding up my entire religion? Thanks. Is it too late to use a phone book? Now, ultimately, there is some form of black and white truth somewhere. Whether or not you'll ever know it, that's a different story. So what do we need to know? What do we need to actually do? Do we even have to claim that we know something? And this goes both ways. This isn't just in the active community. This is also the Exmos. This is also the New Order Mormons. The Cafeteria Mormons, the Gray Area, the Middle Way Mormons, whatever you want to call it. We all like to say that we know something. We know something happened. We know that Joseph did this. We know that the sword was flaming when it was just drawn. We know that he had relations with someone. We know all of these things. We just know, no. So it sounds like some habits are hard to break. I mean, don't get me wrong. You're probably going to hear a lot of me knowing a lot of things on this podcast about historical stuff. But I am going to find every historical record that I can to prove that point. So you can get somewhat of a knowledge, at least to show evidence of a belief that something happened. Wait, what? You said a different word. Oh, you mean that whole belief word? Yeah, that's not the same as truth, is it? Maybe we should talk about that. Maybe we should talk about belief versus fact versus truth. All right, well, let's start with belief. Belief is an acceptance that a statement is true or that something exists. It can also be trust or faith in confidence in someone or something. So belief is not definitive truth. It's just a truth of a statement or something that's presented. Now, it doesn't even have to be reasonable. A lot of people will say, well, yeah, like I believe that's reasonable. And when it comes to the church, if you went to LDS.org and you typed in, like, what does the LDS church believe? It would give you examples of things that we believe, such as the 13 articles of faith, which the majority of them start out as we believe. For instance, the first one, we believe in God, the eternal Father, and in his Son, Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Ghost. Nowhere in there does it say that we know that God, the eternal Father, has a body, that he's a resurrected being, that he is God forever and has been forever, or that some would say that he became God eventually. It doesn't even say in there that we know them to be separate beings. All it does is say that we believe in God, we believe in his Son, and we believe in the Holy Ghost. And in fact, I even had a discussion with someone who is hypothetically my bishop or stake president about the fact that the very first question of the Temple Recommend interview, do you have faith and a testimony in God the Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost? You could say, yes, I do. And then the very next week, start preaching about the Nicene Creed. And technically, you didn't lie. So obviously, beliefs are not statements of fact or statements of truth. It's simply a statement opening up to those. It's merely ideas or concepts of things that you have faith in. Again, that's another word that maybe we need to throw in there. What is faith? A lot of people will say, I have faith that the Book of Mormon is true. I have faith that Joseph Smith is a prophet. I just have faith. I tell them, well, I usually just reserve faith for things that I can't find out by actually studying. Sure, there might have to be a little sprinkling of faith to understand maybe what I researched, or even the tagline, leading with faith. Bill talked about leading with humanity, and humanity is faith, having faith in humanity. I don't have to have faith that the sun came up. I know it came up, so I don't have faith that it's coming up tomorrow. I don't even have to think about it because, you know what, it's been happening for so long that it would be more unreasonable for me to believe that it wouldn't come up than it would to be that it is coming up. But anyways, let's move away from faith. That's a whole other podcast, I think. So the way that I look at belief is that it's not something that can be proven true or false. It's something that you are just holding on to. It doesn't even have to be reasonable unless you're asserting a negative belief, like, I don't believe in gravity. Well, then it has to be reasonable. You have to be able to prove it. But if you're asserting a positive belief, you don't even have to prove it. You can just say, I believe that everyone is relatively good. I believe that Jesus was a historical person. I believe that God loves me. You don't have to prove to anybody in your belief that God loves you. Now, if you are saying that I only believe that God loves me and he doesn't love anyone else, then you would have to probably come up with some reasonable expectation of why that might be so. So let's talk about facts. Let's talk about facts, baby. Facts are provable, and they also are consensus of multiple people who have said, yep, that is a fact. And the only thing that can get rid of a fact is another fact, and it's usually done through some kind of scientific method. At least when it comes to things that are either provable false or true as factual evidence. There may be some facts that are not important and that don't matter. For instance, like the fact that I am poor. You don't have to have a scientific method to say, yep, look, you have zero money in your account. So I think that's one where you really have to be careful, is saying, like, I know for a fact that Joseph Smith did this, or I know for a fact that Brigham Young said this. Like I said, you're better off saying, you know, I believe that it is reasonable that Brigham Young said this because I have read this, 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 and this with different sources, and so I can come to a pretty good conclusion that that's what happened. And then we have truth. Now, do you swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Truth is a tricky one, because truth is taking facts and reality and mixing that together. The difference, though, is that you can have someone else that has a different reality, a different truth, but it might not match the truth of everyone else. The example I give is someone being told that the color blue is actually red. And you point to a color and you say, what color is this? And he says, that is red. And you're like, nope, that is blue. Now, we could say that he's wrong. But technically, he's right in the sense that he's consistent in what he actually knows to be truth. You can get into the whole spectrum of light and knowing that we know something is a certain color, but we're really just talking about the name of the color, not that the color itself fits in a spectrum in a certain place. So his truth is that that color is that name. But ultimately, through science, through language, through acceptance of other people, you can say, you know, you're actually wrong, and this is what is actually true. Ultimately, there is a black and white truth. There is an eternal truth, a 1 + 1 = 2. It is not 3. It is not 0. It's not 4. And it doesn't matter how many times you repeat it and how many times you say it. And if you say it louder, it's not going to make it any more correct. It's not going to make it any more true. So now that we've established what the differences might be between something that is a belief, something that is a fact, and something that is true, we can start talking about how you can go to church and mingle with people who say things like, I know the church is true. I know the Book of Mormon is true. I know Joseph Smith was a true prophet. And you can actually go and you can play nice. And it's that whole Fowler Stage 5, being able to even use some of the same wording, the same mythicism. You can be a part of the community and not be a threat. And you don't ever have to use the word I know ever again. Unless you want to say like, I know that I don't know. And I am fine with that. But this is what I believe. And this is what I'm hopeful in. So now I want to get into some examples of ways that I've been able to continue to go to church and even get up on fast and testimony meeting and say, I want to bear my testimony. And to be honest, my testimonies, quote unquote, air quotes, testimony, I usually don't say, I want to bear my testimony. And really, I might be that annoying person that nobody likes because I give a talkimony and not a testimony. But I have found that people respond to the things that I say. I've helped people, and so I don't feel guilty for not going up there and testifying of the 5 standard things, which, if I'm not mistaken, there's like some primary lesson with a glove, and there's the 5 things that you should testify of. But one example I can give is, I was reading from one of my church books from the 19th century, and in there it talked about how people are too quick to make a decision. They're in too of a hurry to go one way or the other, and they don't just stop and let things come to them. And so I talked about that and how oftentimes we think we're making the best decision, but in the end it's not really the decision that we should have made, it's just the decision that we thought we should have made. Afterwards, I had a member of the ward who is in a leadership position come up to me and thank me for that. They had released someone from a calling, assuming that they wanted to be released, because why would anyone want to be in that calling for an extended period of time? And so she thanked me, saying, I need to remember to do that more. Remember not to just make a decision because I think a decision needs to be made right now. I also will share stories up there about Jesus or about the Bible or about something interesting that I've read or heard. A couple months ago, I talked about how early on in the church, when Jesus was finding disciples and people were following him around, people were always stopping him and wanting something from him. And I talked about how early on, we in our lives, we go to church because we want to seek something from God or seek something from Jesus. We're like the blind man calling out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus asks, what can I do for you? It's always about us. in the beginning. Jesus, what must I do to gain eternal life? Heal me from my sickness. Have mercy on me. Heal my blindness. But where we can become better disciples is once we know what Jesus can do for us, or once we've been healed, now it's time for us to find out what we can do for other people. What if it would have been, Jesus, what do I have to do to help people gain eternal life? But unfortunately, we are like the people telling the blind man to shut up. Stop begging. Leave Jesus alone. We're not saying, Jesus, there's a blind man over here. Come heal him. We always think that we know better. We think we know what should take place, who deserves it, who doesn't. But it's important that we find out how to help other people. And that's what I talked about. And people enjoyed that quote-unquote testimony. I've talked about differences between Greek and Hebrew scripture. I've talked about how perfection is not black and white. It's not either perfect or not perfect, but that as stated in Matthew, the Greek translation is a journey, is completeness, and that it is only through the atonement of Jesus Christ that we will ever get to that place. Just as Elder Holland taught in conference recently. Now, some of you may be saying, well, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in the atonement. And that's where Fowler Stage 5 comes into play. You use the language that they know. You use the myths, even if you think they're myths. An example is, one time someone said, I can't just say that I believe in Santa Claus again. I know that he doesn't exist. So how am I supposed to believe in him again? And my argument to that is, you can. You can believe in the idea of Santa. You can believe in the spirit of Christmas, the spirit of Santa Claus. It's a way that at a certain time of year, you can reach out, help someone else, go above and beyond what you normally would throughout the year. See the joy on people's faces, on kids' faces, and that is what Santa is about. And I am fine with that. I'm okay with that. All you have to do when you're sitting in class is to hear what the lesson is about, hear what the claims are, hear what other people are saying, and then just try to tie in whatever it is that you believe or hope for into it. You don't have to ask questions. I don't ever ask questions in class. I try to give comments that might help people that relate to it and maybe provide extra information if I feel that it's necessary. For example, last Sunday school class lesson was on Zion. And the teacher was asking, what is it? And people were giving the answers, and she would kind of coax them along with the scriptures. And then it got to of one heart and one mind. And just the night before, I was reading in an old 1855 book of Parley P. Pratt called Science of Theology, and I raised my hand and I said, I was actually reading last night about some of the earlier thoughts on the subject of one heart and one mind, and how they were saying that God the Father and Jesus Christ had one heart and one mind, and that's what tied them together, and that we ourselves, when we can align our heart and mind with them, we then become sons of God through the Holy Spirit. And to be honest, I didn't know what the lesson was going to be on. I was just studying and reading my own stuff. Other times in that class, I've made corrections to historical statements. For instance, during the one on Brigham Young being the successor to Joseph Smith, the teacher had said, and Joseph Smith said that where I am not, the first president is not either. And it's a quote that is used to say, look, the first presidency dissolved when Joseph Smith died. So I raised my hand and I was called on. And I said, that actually most likely wasn't said. We actually have the minutes of that meeting. And in the minutes, it says that Joseph Smith said, "The 12 are not subject to any other than the first presidency, which includes myself, Sidney Rigdon, and Frederick G. Williams." The end. I said, I understand that the manual has that in there, but it was actually added by the 12 apostles after the death of Joseph Smith. And I said that you can actually see the book on the Joseph Smith Papers website. Later in that same lesson, someone had said Sidney Rigdon had a falling out with the church at this time, and he just thought that he could do what he wanted. Again, I raised my hand and I said, you know, because I think historical accuracy is important, Sidney Rigdon actually hadn't fallen away at that time. He was running as vice president with Joseph Smith, and because of the laws, he needed to establish residency away from Joseph. I said, it's true that in 1842, there was a falling out when Joseph Smith tried to propose to his daughter and say he was testing her virtue, but by 1844, they were actually doing okay. And that's why he was in Pittsburgh. And in both of those cases, nobody told me I was wrong. Nobody said, I disagree. Nobody tried to silence me. It was done in a polite manner. I was calm. I didn't show arrogance. And I think people in my ward know that I study this stuff deeply and that I have a good knowledge of some of the things that have happened. And this is why I think you should study. Look deeper. Follow footnotes. Find original sources. It's interesting. I've been on Mormon Think and some other websites, and they'll try to find a quote from Brigham Young for some Adam God doctrine quote where he says, "And God revealed it to me." And the footnote will just give some other book page number. But that's not always good enough for me. I want to find the actual thing. And so I've found that actual newspaper clipping. I have a hard time telling someone, hey, yeah, it says this in Rough Stone Rolling. Or, yeah, it says this in whatever it is. It says this on Mormon Think's website. It says this on Fair Mormon. It says this in the CES letter. That's not good enough for me. I want to try to find the original source. And this isn't just to be cynical. This is to actually have knowledge, to learn things, to actually know what was said. At least as it was recorded. Obviously, if I'm not there, I can't know for a surety. But again, it's finding the multiple sources. It's finding the most original source that you can. It's finding contemporary resources. So to wrap up on this episode of faith and belief and facts and truth, I think that we can all participate in a community that overall tries to do good. And I'm not saying that you have to go to church. I'm just saying that if there is an activity and you're invited, there's no harm in going. And you might have to forgive them for wanting to convert you or not being empathetic. But you can find beliefs, you can find things to talk about with people. You can share experience, you can share love, you can share joy, happiness, you can even share sorrow and pain and hurt and frustrations. But you can't do that if you're angry. You can't do that if you're not willing to be out of the box with them. And I apologize, that phrase comes from Leadership and Self-Deception. It's a book. But basically, if you're in the box with somebody, you tend to close them off and not listen and just judge. But again, I want to thank you guys so much for listening and for reaching out to me. I've gotten a few comments and a few emails, and that's what makes me want to continue doing this and to be more vulnerable with a public place like this. Just having someone say, "This really helped me, thank you." It makes me want to continue doing this and to do it for as long as you'll have me. We don't have to know everything. We don't have to have the facts. We don't even have to have the same beliefs. But just being human sometimes is enough. Getting to where I am now has really made me a better person. It's made me a more caring person. And I would never change that. Regardless of what people want to say about me, regardless if people think I'm crazy, regardless if people think I'm an apostate, I don't care. I don't. Because I don't owe any explanation to anybody else. You guys are awesome. Whether you're fully in, whether you're fully out, whether you're somewhere in the middle, you are awesome. And you have a reason to be here. And you are not alone. So reach out to me if you need anything. MormonHistoryPodcast@gmail.com or on my Facebook page, Mormon History Podcast. And I just want to thank Bill for giving me this platform and giving me the opportunity to speak in a microphone. And I hope you guys will continue to join me on this journey. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode. Hope you enjoyed it. This is wrapping up this little kind of a series on the subject, but tune in next time for a historical episode, and until then, have a good one.